STR Podcasts and Radio are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Centuries ago, scientific knowledge was in its infancy. And although our understanding of the natural world progressed, there were gaps in the explanations. And sometimes a scientist would insert God in this gap of knowledge to explain the unexplainable. But over time, those gaps were filled with satisfactory natural explanations. And theists, people who believe in God, worried that if this trend continued, then God would be relegated to the role of a passive bystander to creation, or worse, some sort of wishful invention of their minds. And so many atheists think that intelligent design is making the same mistake today. What they argue is that we insert God into aspects of science that are too complex and that we don't understand. But actually, the opposite is true. Intelligent design is not a God of the gaps explanation. Rather, it's a scientific theory that holds that certain features of the universe and of living things are best explained by an intelligent cause, not a natural or an undirected process. In other words, intelligent design tries to make an inference to the best explanation, which is actually something that many fields of science do on a regular basis. Now, here's an example. Forensic science routinely makes distinctions between natural and intelligent causes. So when a detective finds a human corpse in a back alley, what they try to do is they look for clues to see if there was foul play or not. Now, it's possible the man died of natural causes. But if they find bullet holes in his chest, this would obviously be unmistakable evidence that an intelligent mind was responsible for this person's death. Now, notice this conclusion is not drawn by the absence of evidence, some sort of a gap in the investigation, but rather by the presence of it. Now, archaeologists make similar distinctions. When they discover an arrow-shaped piece of flint, they reject a natural explanation and they try to reasonably conclude that an intelligent agent produced its shape. Again, they arrive at this conclusion not because they've thrown up their hands and have no idea how to explain the artifact. Instead, there are unmistakable signs that the object was designed. Now, both of these examples engage in a legitimate form of logic known as abductive reasoning. Abductive reasoning. A-B-D-U-C-T-I-V. And in this kind of reasoning, what you're doing is you survey the available clues and then you find an explanation that best fits all of the relevant data. Okay, all the relevant data has to be included or has to be explained. And the same is true with intelligent design. And what scientists have done is they've discovered these clues in the natural world that point to an intelligence. For example, the information-rich molecule known as DNA contains a 4-character digital code that contains the blueprints to manufacture every part of your body, from the smallest protein to the largest organ. Now, the question is, really, what's the best explanation for the information in DNA? Now, natural forces can't produce this information that's coded in the molecule. Because whenever we see blueprints for cars or houses or planes or any kind of complex machine, they're always a product of an intelligent agent. And by the same reasoning, the blueprints in DNA, which are far more complex than any man-made blueprints, must also be the product of an intelligent mind. Now, here's the key point, though. Notice that this conclusion is not made by discovering that DNA is complex, determining we can't explain it, and then deducing that God must have done it. Now, that would be a God of the gaps explanation. But rather, we have evidence that an intelligent mind was at work to produce this information. And it's based on our universal experience of what creates design code. And that explanation has the greatest explanatory power. It makes sense of all the details in DNA that need to be explained. And here's the irony about the whole thing here. You see, despite the claim that Christians use a God of the gaps approach to account for unexplained data, it turns out that sometimes evolutionists are guilty of this mistake. And one example of this is Eugenie Scott. She's been the executive director of the National Center for Science Education since 1987. And she's a vocal critic of theism and a passionate defender of evolution. And she's written that, here's a quote, "Scientists do not agree on how life began, yet. and yet is a very important word in science. One should not assume that just because something is not currently understood, that it'll never will be understood, end quote. You see, according to Scott, the origin of life, or what we call abiogenesis, this massive leap from no life to the first living organism is unexplainable. An evolutionist can't account for its origin by simply appealing to natural causes. But, she claims, science will one day fill this gap in knowledge. Now, that's not an evidence-based conclusion. It's a science of the gaps approach. And see, what they're doing is they're inserting science to kind of plug in this gaping hole in their knowledge. Anyways, thankfully, the presence of evidence, not its absence, favors intelligent design. So we don't have to be afraid of science. It doesn't reveal a cold and meaningless universe. Rather, the fingerprints of God are all over creation. And science really is simply a tool to help us discover what he's made.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.